It's good to be home once again. And I know I am. My name is down scheduled to preach. About 2 months ago, I was in the hospital and I had triple bypass surgery. But God has blessed me. My wife took good care of me and helped nurse me back to health. And I'm not where I should be as far as preaching yet, but I just want you all to know that she's going to preach, and as God would have her to do, there ain't going to be a drop off. Amen. God is blessing me to get my strength back. And Shiloh, we were recently called about 2 months ago. We had been helping a church out down in Norfolk. We left our home church, Mount Hermon Baptist Church, and went over to help Mount Zion Interdenominational Church out. And we called ourselves retiring from pastoring. But little did we know God has an alternative and a better plan. Amen. And so while I was in the hospital, the church had a church meeting. You all know how that can be. Amen. And so Mount Zion Interdenominational Christian Church in Norfolk called both of us as co-pastors of the church. And they're going to be listening to the broadcast tonight. Amen. And so we just wanted to share that with you. And also, we look forward to the fourth Sunday in April of 2014. Shiloh's going to be coming down to share in our installation service on the fourth Sunday in April of next year. So God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he
is. Amen. And I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. My wife, Reverend Dr. Shirlene Branch, is a native of Windsor, North Carolina. She's a graduate of Livingstone College. She received a Bachelor's of Science there. And she's also a graduate with a Master's degree in Education from Old Dominion University. She's also attended the Samuel DeWitt Proctor School of Theology and received that's part of Virginia Union University. She received a certificate in religious studies there. But moreover than that, she's a child of God, a virtuous woman, as Proverbs say, one who loves the Lord with all her heart, one who can preach, will preach, and is going to preach. She's not a singer like me, she'll tell you that. But if I felt like singing, I would. You all know that, but I'm just not right where I believe that I should be. But you all continue to pray for me. And as Reverend Sister Branch comes, we ask that you all would pray for her. Look, won't you say these words after me? Lord, anoint the preacher. Lord, anoint the preacher.
Somebody's been blessed other than me. Come on and give the Lord some praise. Praise God. Praise God. He is so worthy this morning. He is so worthy. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't like a quiet congregation.
Me neither.
I don't like a quiet congregation. Because as I look out at you, and as you look out at me, I know you've been blessed. And I know it didn't start this morning. Oh, praise God, somebody. Come on and give God some praise this morning. Come on and somebody tell him thank you, Lord. Somebody tell him thank you. Somebody tell him hallelujah, because he's worthy of the praise. Somebody give him some praise. Somebody got some bad news on last week. Somebody need to praise the Lord. Somebody need to tell him thank you for renewing. Oh, praise God. morning. Oh, praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Ah, I'm going to do what I've been called to do. But I'm going to tell you, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he's a healer. And the song says he's a deliverer. He's a redeemer. And he's a savior. And I know I'm not the only one that knows that this morning. I know there's been some sickness in somebody else's household other than mine. I know there's been some trouble with your children other than mine. I know there's been some disappointments on your job other than mine. And I'm ready to praise him this morning. I'm ready to praise him because he's worthy. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You're going to find us. And I'm going to try and get this together, but I just love the Lord. And every morning that I get up, I tell him to use me however you see fit. If you put running in my feet, Lord, let me run. If you put clapping in my hands, let me clap. He hasn't given me a song yet, but I'm willing to praise him. However he gives me the praise, I'm willing to praise him. Oh, praise God. You see, I know God has heard me sing in the shower. So he's not going to let me do that to you just yet. Come on and pray with me. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God, for another praise opportunity. We thank you, God, because you did not have to do what you said. But we're so grateful and so thankful for all that you've done for us. And Father God, we ask that you decrease me and increase you. That the words of my mouth, God, will be a blessing to these your people. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Giving honor to your pastor and the First Family, to our dear friend, Deacon Green, Deacon Revell, to all of you, we thank God for your presence this morning. And I would be remiss not to tell you how grateful I am for your prayers. For those of you that knew that Reverend Branch had surgery, we are so grateful for your prayers that God has brought him through. And I also want to say that Reverend Branch and I have been treated like royalty from Virginia to here. God is just awesome. My sister drove us so that he wouldn't have to do all the driving. She drove us from Petersburg to D.C. And then my niece drove us from D.C. here. Come on, Peyton. And they're looking at me like I will get you after service. They are so good. I called them a couple of weeks ago, and I asked my sister, I said, do you think the two of us can make it to New Jersey? I said, but I'm not driving. And she said, I think so. And then she said, well, what about the girls? And I said, okay. And I'm going to tell you a joke about the girls, and then I'm going to go on. They drove me up here several years ago. And like most young folk, speed limit means absolutely nothing. So I told my twin sister when we were leaving, I said, because my sister drives speed limit. I said, we're going to drive up to D.C. When we get to D.C., we're going to fly to New Jersey. So be it. I don't need to say anything else. We're here. We had a safe drive and a safe flight. Praise God. Praise God. Those of you that have your Bibles, you're going to find me reading from 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, and I'm just going to read one verse in your hearing, and that is the 17th verse. 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter, and the 17th verse. And it reads as thus, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God bless you. I'm going to use for my topic this morning, tomorrow brings a new day.
All right.
There are some things in life that we can be sure of. Some things that we know are just for certain. We know that if the sun rises, the sun will go down. We know that surely as man and woman are born, then man and woman will die. We know that as sure as there is an up, there's going to be a down.
Right.
And surely we know that regardless of our circumstances, tomorrow brings a new day.
Yeah.
How many of you here this morning would like to have a new start in your Christian life?
All right.
Many of us here this morning have made mistakes in our lives as Christians. We've experienced many setbacks and failures throughout life. Sometimes we allow these mistakes, these setbacks and failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy the full Christian life that God has preserved for us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in John 10, Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Then he goes on to tell us that there is an adversary called the devil that it seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. You see, the devil will remind us of our past in order to keep us from enjoying our future, to keep us from enjoying the life that God has given to us. You see, the devil does not want you to have a new start.
All right.
He does not want you to know that tomorrow brings a new day. But the good news is, God says, "I want you to have a new start in life.
Uh-huh.
I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something new in your life." Aren't you glad this morning that God wants to do something new in your life?
Yeah.
See, we need to understand that God is far more interested in our future than he is in our past. It's time to take an inventory of your spiritual life. It's time for us to examine ourselves. It's time to consider how many ways your life falls short of what it ought to be and of what it could be. And for the Lord's sake, and for your sake, and for your family's sake, and for the sake of what's around you. You see, it's time to face the fact that nothing stands between you and your faithfulness to God except your willingness to be committed to him. You see, we need to come to the realization that God will bless those that hunger and thirst after him. You see, to do the same thing over and over is to reap the same thing you've always gotten. But to trust God and obey God and obey his will is to expect and receive different results than you've ever received before. You see, life is full of people with broken dreams, full of people with pain and sorrow, still not believing in the place called tomorrow, or even understanding that God is the author of a new beginning. You see, William Runyon wrote the music to these words. He wrote them for a friend, and the words go, "Great is thy faithfulness."
Yes.
You see, he tells us that morning by morning, new mercies I see. Not the same ones from yesterday, not the same ones from yesteryear, but new mercies. New mercies I see. Aren't you glad that God takes the time to give you something new every day? You see, tomorrow brings a new day. But before anything can change in tomorrow, our hearts must be changed today. You see, if we are willing to reconcile with God through Christ Jesus, then we must be real in our praise. You see, our Father knows the details of our life. Even if they seem to escape us every now and then, our Father still knows. And all we have to do is walk with him in love and obedience.
Yeah, that's right.
He will work the rest according to his holy will. He wants to remind us to fast and pray.
Yeah.
To love one another as he has loved us.
Uh-huh.
I've come to let you know this morning that every new day there comes a new challenge.
Uh-huh.
Maybe your life right now is full of defeats. Just when you think you're on the path of going up, something happens that brings you down. Maybe you've been dealt some trouble, disappointments along the way. Maybe you suffered some overwhelming heartache and that just won't go away. I came to tell you this morning that no one, not the preacher, not the deacons, not the mothers, not the members, but no one escapes these things, and that these difficult times we need to pray. All we need to do is trust in God, and he will bring a new tomorrow. When it's all said and done, we will sing like the old folk. I look back and wonder how I made it over. I just want to tell him thank you. When I look back at the burdens that I carried, when I look back at the difficulties in my life, when I look back at the bad experiences I've had, I just want to tell him thank you. I want to tell him thank you. When I look back at the toils and the struggles of my life, I just want to tell him thank you. I'm so glad. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that now that I can see how God turns our mess around and puts the beauty in it, I just want to tell him thank you. Anybody ready? Anybody ready to walk into their tomorrow? Anybody ready to forget about the pains and sorrows of yesterday? I've come to remind you this morning that tomorrow brings a new day. A new day in Christ Jesus. A new day to right the wrongs we've done. A new day to walk in his righteousness. You see, Isaiah 43 tells us to fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. And you know, when I read that, I thought I'd like that. When I have called thee by name. He doesn't just look out in the crowd and say, hey, you. He doesn't gather me with and put me in a bunch with one another, but he calls me by name. I'm so glad this morning that my blessings are just for me. I'm so glad this morning that when I'm struggling, my results are just for me. Oh, thank you, God. I'm so glad.
So glad
that God doesn't bless me according to what you do. But God knows me. He knows me by name. I don't know about you this morning, but what I like about God is that he gives me the assurances of his goodness. You see, Isaiah goes on to tell us that when thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. When thou goest through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And you see, I don't know about you, but when he talks about thou, I believe he's saying, Shirlene, when I go through the fire, I can go through the fire and not be burned. I can cry a river and not be drowned. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all don't hear me this morning. You see, and then I read in Revelation, and it said, I am he that liveth, he that was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I don't know about you, but that was good news to me. He is no longer dead. So when I call on him, I call on a true and living God. I don't know about you, but when I go in my secret closet, I don't have to worry about Buddha. I don't have to worry about rubbing nobody. Hallelujah.
Preach, honey.
Anybody know? Anybody know that because he lives, you can face tomorrow?
That's right.
Anybody know that because he lives, all we can face tomorrow. Anybody know that because he lives, all fear is gone? Anybody know that we can sing the song, what have I to fear? What have I to dread? Because I'm leaning on the everlasting arm. Ah, what I like about that verse, it says that I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. It lets me know that he knows sometimes I'm going to get weak and sometimes I may need to lean. But I can lean because I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on arms that can hold me. I'm leaning on arms that can stand me up. I'm leaning. Whew, Lord have mercy. Tomorrow brings a new day.
Oh, yes, it does.
We should not be afraid to begin over again. You see, God wants us to know he does not want us to remain where we are. He wants us to move a little bit further. You see, Jeremiah tells us, for I know the plans I have for you. Not declared Shirlene, not declared Deacon Green, but declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare. That means to make you good. Plans to take care of you. And not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. I just want to know, is anybody ready to face your tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'm about done, but in order to receive the new beginnings of your life, there are some things that you and I must do. We must forget about yesterday and focus on the new beginning of tomorrow. We need to learn and trust and lean on him who is the author and the creator of our lives. We need to allow God to order our steps into the path that he has designed for us. We don't need to try to keep up with the Joneses. We don't need to try to keep up with Sister Barbara. We don't need to keep up with Deacon Billy. But we need to order our steps. Ask God to order our steps in the path that he has designed for us. So we can do all things. I'm not just making this up. But scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Tomorrow brings a new day. A new day to prosper and a new day. And in order for us to get into that new day, we must reposition ourselves. Get ready for our blessings. We must forget about the things of our past, but reposition ourselves, welcome in God, and get ready for a new beginning. You see, my sisters and my brothers, there is no defeat, no hopeless situation when it comes to God. Scripture tells us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I'm about done. But when you think and do the will of God, you never know what kind of blessing a new day will bring.
That's right. That's
so it behooves us to give God our best. Not just on today, but every day. I've come to remind you this morning that tomorrow will bring a new day. A new day, whether or not you're ready. Tomorrow will bring it. Even though we don't know what tomorrow brings as far as our future, we see in the book of John that it tells us that Jesus, even Jesus, made plans for his tomorrow. You see, you know the story. When the Pharisees came to him on behalf of Herod, and they told Jesus to leave that city, but Jesus said, no, no, for I will continue my healing on tomorrow. Jesus made plans for his tomorrow. Wait a minute, but I'm about ready to leave you now. But before I do, I want to call on some people who can tell you about the beginning of a new tomorrow. You see, Abraham, at the age of 75, in his retirement, God called him to leave the security of Haran for the insecurity of Canaan. Uh-huh. You see, God needs us and can use us at any age. And then there was Moses. After spending 40 years in the desert, God called him to lead 2 million people. I want to let you know this morning that God has no particular place to send you. He just wants you to be willing to go.
Yeah.
Then there was Peter, who was out fishing. God called him to drop his net and follow him.
Yeah.
I want to remind you, congregation, that you might be a teacher. You might be a banker. You might be a lawyer. You might be a bus driver. You might be a meat cutter. But when God calls you, you've got to go. When God redesigns your future, you've got to go. I don't know about you this morning, but wherever he leads me, I will follow. I'm reminded of the children of Israel. Israel will be punished for their sins because they had rebelled against God. But God wanted to give them hope and encouragement. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished, they were not forsaken. Israel doubted. Israel became discouraged because they thought this was the end of them. Why? Because they knew they had gone too far. They thought God would no longer be their God. But I've come to let you know that maybe they thought God would not deliver them again. They thought it was over. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you know you've gone too far, that you rebelled too much against the will of God? When he said go right, you went left. When he said turn around, you backed up. But I've come to remind you that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, God does not forsake you, because he still loves you. Lord, have mercy. Tomorrow brings a new day. Sometimes you may feel and believe that you have no future with God. But I've got some good news for you this morning. It's not over. I've come to remind you that God is the only one that has plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. For tomorrow, he says, brings a new day.
Yeah.
And I can imagine, and now you all know the story about Bishop Paul Martin, and I can imagine in my baptized imagination that Bishop Morton had that feeling when the storm Katrina tore down everything God had allowed him to build. I can imagine he had that feeling when his only grandchild was called home.
But then
Bishop Morton remembered the God he served.
Yeah.
He remembered the God that had brought him through. He remembered the God that had given him that grandchild. And then I heard these words. He took pen to paper and he wrote these words. God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. If you're sending a storm, Lord, don't do it without me. Because I know if you send the storm, you're going to take me through the storm. I want to remind you that if you give up when troubles come, you're going to lose your blessing.
Yeah, right.
You see, God specializes in new beginnings. You can be in the midst of pain, but you can still get healing. You can be physically hurting, but you still can have joy in your soul. You can be mentally exhausted, and God will give you peace of mind. Stay in the will of God, for tomorrow brings a new day. Tomorrow brings new healings. Tomorrow brings new love. tomorrow brings new forgiveness. Every day.
Every day.
Not just today, but every day with God is better than the day before. Stay in the will of God, for tomorrow brings a new day. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you remain standing, what a powerful, powerful word. Tomorrow brings a new day. Maybe there's someone here today that you've been through something and you're going through something right now. And you don't know how you're going to make it. Reverend Branch just gave you the solution. Let go and let God. How do we do that? The day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If this word has touched your spirit this morning, we open the doors to Shiloh for you today. If you're unchurched, you may come as a candidate for baptism if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you're a member of another congregation and God is moving in your spirit to unite with this branch of Zion, we invite you to come by Christian Experience, or if you're want to come by letter, we invite you to come. But whatever you do, don't let this day, this opportunity, pass you by. I remember blind Bartimaeus, when he was sitting by the wayside, said, "Do not pass me by. Jesus, have mercy on me." And so we offer Jesus Christ to you today. Is there one? Is there one? Won't you come? We invite you to come now. Lord, do it for me. Is there one today?
Do it for me.
This is the cry of your children, Lord. Lord, do it. Please do it for me.
Do it for me.
Right now. I heard the blind man say, Lord, do it.
Lord, do it.
You heal the sick one day, Lord. I know you can do it for me.
Lord, do it for me.
This is the cry of your children, Lord. Please do it for me.
Do it for me.
Right
now.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Let me go ahead and be seated in the presence of the Lord. When I was singing, I felt a tug on my coat. Amen. That was a reminder for me from my wife. Amen. Not to overdo it. Amen. But praise God for that. So I'm going to sit down and do what she tells me to do. Amen. But didn't this woman of God preach Shiloh?